Hi.
Welcome to part one of our two-episode season wrap-up. We had the pleasure of recording our first live podcast during our last days at Front Room Studio. I know it's a little bit sad. We chat about summer plans, poor hairstyles, and we finally hear from our very special guest, Chris Graham. Enjoy.
Welcome to Not Terrible with your hosts, Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Jess is a part-time vegan yogi. You can find her on her motorcycle, usually heading to therapy. Mary is a writer and Jesus follower. She loves camping almost as much as cheeseburgers. The Not Terrible podcast is two childhood friends who have been through the ringer, learned some tough lessons, and kept going. Jess and Mary share stories, advice, and lessons on each episode. They try to find humor in the chaos and learn from their mistakes in an attempt to feel less alone as they navigate life's journey.
All right, so first of all, thanks for coming to our live show. I'm just going to say it on the recording that we might have people walking in once it starts. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We're missing some people, but that's fine. So this is technically our season wrap-up. You can tell your friends that you're on a podcast. So if you like plan on laughing really loud at some point, then you'll be like, I'm on that podcast. So that's what you need to do.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to start, and this is not anything really podcast related, but if you follow Jess on social media today, she said she was thinking about cutting her hair. And I immediately went to meme search and found like 15 don't cut your hair memes and sent them to her. And I was like, this is an emotional week. I know things are hard. Don't cut your hair. Also, don't get bangs, but you already have them.
I already have bangs. So I would skip to the most extreme. I text Max from my bedroom. He was in his bedroom. And I said, would you be completely embarrassed if I shaved my head?
That's a very extreme reaction.
And he goes, why would you want to do that? And I was like, because I want to. And he goes, okay then. And that was the end of the conversation. Also, I had just taken a melatonin, so I was kind of out of it. So that may have had something to do with it.
No. Okay.
I don't know if it's what's making me sweaty. It might be the hair conversation. But I think that our air conditioner went out upstairs. Two days ago, too. So also that made me want to shave my head because when you wake up with sweat and hair across your face.
I thought you were getting it fixed.
Yeah, we did, kind of. But then, you know, the part's not available for 2 days and those types of things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up on Pinterest and I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get one of those really cute, like, buzz haircuts where it's just a little bit longer on the top, short. And then I'm going to cut in a part and I'm going to dye it blonde. I'm going to bleach it out. And that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. And the audience right now is our friend Jessica who cuts hair. And
I think Jessica would let me do it. She likes doing fun stuff like that.
I don't know.
Would you let me do it?
Do you want to talk about getting your hair to blonde?
There have to be a long discussion. We have to work our way up. It have to be like a 3 week, like
3 months.
Yeah. Check in and just, okay, are you ready? Maybe this is something I should gear up for next summer.
You probably don't
remember this, but the night before the first day of our senior year, I chopped all my hair off and bleached it blonde. No.
Did it turn orange?
Yes.
I remember it. I wasn't ever going to speak of it, but I remember it.
No, yeah.
But I remember before our freshman year, you came in with a short haircut,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, you're my idol.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And that was like a good one. It wasn't blonde, though.
No, it wasn't blonde. But I only did that. I can't take credit for that. I have to give that to Andrea Jackson. She did it for all
first.
Of us. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see.
I'm nervous. Will you text at least 4 people before? I got real close to that
before.
Will you text like 4 to 6 people before you actually do it?
Probably not. I probably won't text or call anyone. I'll probably go in and I'll be like, hey, Max, get the clippers.
Max, eye contact right now.
Look, he's like, I wouldn't.
I'm gonna
give
you
wouldn't
my
do
phone
it.
Number for emergencies only.
He wouldn't do it.
Yeah, he said, yeah.
The last time I cut a pixie, it was because I lost 40 pounds.
And it makes you look sexy.
It makes you feel good. Yeah. You feel thin and sassy. And now it's just... So then in Pinterest, I was like, chubby girls with shaved heads.
It's a very specific search.
There's lots of them, though.
Okay, when you pin something to Pinterest, you have to put keywords in it. So, like, people are pinning that as, yeah, like, chubby girl haircut. Mm-hmm.
Yep, round face, pixie, stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah. You get a lot of Jennifer Goodwin when you do round face pixie.
But she's super cute. She's like a doll.
I know, totally could pull it off. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right. First order of business, don't let Jesse cut her hair.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Okay. Second order of business is really not anything related. You got a pool this summer.
I did, and we have yet to swim in it. But you know what I did before I came? If you smell chlorine or bleach, if that's me, because I went to Fry Water today. I said, Tina, give me 2 cases of pool shock. I'm putting it all in there. So I put twice the recommended dose in there before I left. I'm going to kill it. I don't know what it is. And our skin might melt off when we get in there, but I'm doing it.
It'll feel so good for like 4 minutes.
Yeah. before our eyes seal shut.
Oh.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. Because she ordered a collapsible pool.
Yeah.
Is that what you would describe
it as? Yeah. It's like
a
14 foot wide, 4 feet deep.
From Amazon. And I was immediately like, I need one of those. Send me all
the
details.
I almost called you and was like, send Chris Graham over here. You guys are getting a pool because I can't figure this out.
And it's been like weeks and you can't.
Yeah, I can't.
It's well water. I don't know. Like,
somebody told me I should just call the pool guy and have him come over and fill it up with treated water already.
But it's a lot of chemistry involved in a pool.
Yeah, but I know lots of dumb people that have pools and their pool water's clear.
You know lots of dumb people that pay other people to
That's
do
probably
their pools.
True. That's probably true.
Just get a slip and slide and call it a day.
That's true. Get the trash bags, kids.
Just seal them all together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last thing. Any summer travel plans?
No, but I'll ask you because you travel a lot in the summer.
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. I was like, clearly this last one's not for me. The first two were for me.
I thought maybe.
No, we're just.
We're going to the pool. We're going to the lake.
Oh, yeah, we have a girls' trip to the lake planned.
Yeah, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and the kids and I were going to hit a state park, and then I told the kids that, and they were like, nah, I don't think so.
State parks are fun.
I know. It'll probably be more fun if we went with you guys, so maybe we'll meet you somewhere.
This isn't really for the podcast, but...
Hey, we're going to make our travel arrangements, so you guys just take
just
quick time out.
Just get out your calendars if you guys want to come. The weekend before Heather's, we are taking the camper down...
To the same lake?
And spending the weekend with them on their boat with kids.
Oh. Okay.
And I meant to tell you yesterday, but you were grouchy, so I didn't bring it up.
I was very grouchy.
Very grouchy.
Chris is laughing like you went home and talked to him about it.
No. Okay. He has no idea what I'm talking about.
Okay, good.
I was
really, you'd been sad about us moving out of our space and I got mad. I haven't been sad about it, but I got mad about it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that brings up our next thing. Mm-hmm. So we're here, live show. And it's funny because we've been here since last June.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all these big plans and dreams and it has been an amazing time in the studio. What we didn't know is just how expensive the electric bill was going to be every month. So we're in a building that was probably built in the 1800s. And our landlords, I would now describe them as slumlords. Mm-hmm. And they won't help us like, well, let's get some windows that don't have a draft. Or like, hey, when the door just pops open randomly when we're working in here, it would be nice if we could like, you know, have some heat.
Yeah.
So,
and they came in and they were like, oh, well, you know, these are the original windows. And I was like, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have guessed.
So when like in the middle of the day when semis go by this road, like the whole building shakes. It just like we fell in love with this space mm-hmm. and all the things that we were going to do here. No one told us that our manageable rent was like at 100 million times more money for electric bill.
For electric bill.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, on average in the winter, it was $600 to $800 for our electric bill.
Yeah, it was a lot.
So that just really bummed us out. And
when we thought, hey, we have electricity at our house and we could do this from there. So that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. And so we talked about moving. We knew that we were going to not be renewing the lease in March. So I kind of grieved and was upset and sad for a while. And we made the decision together and just like talked through that. We're still doing all the things that we love. We're just doing it in a different spot. You didn't grieve in March or April.
No, you sent me the text about, what do you think about moving, while I was on spring break.
I was on spring break too.
Yeah, and I was in Florida and I was like, yeah, okay, sure, yeah. We'll do it. Whatever you want to do.
And it wasn't then. It was still
a
long time
away. It was a long one. Yeah, now that it's come, it's like,
So then, yeah, I walked in and we were moving stuff out yesterday and I could tell you were just, not yourself.
Crabby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is a bummer to be moving, but
it was a good year. We learned a lot and yeah.
Yeah.
We're good now.
Are we?
I mean, we'll be fine. No, I'm definitely not good, but I mean, I'm fine.
It's fine. Give it a couple more months.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is sad. And we're not peeling this sign off, so we're going to drive by here and still see that it says Front Room Studio.
And Lord knows who's going to come in here next.
And use our sign?
Use our sign.
I will egg this place.
All right, you want to talk about past episodes?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to say this and then see what you have to say.
Okay.
One of our very popular episodes from the season was the one on intuitive eating. And even, you can't see her face, but it's excited.
I'm going to get grumpy again.
Yeah. We worked really hard this, spring to record all our episodes for the summer before our kids get out from school. So we had recorded that episode maybe in April and then came back, or maybe even March, and came back to it months later to do the prep work for it. And Jesse was like,
I listened to it. I listened back and did the editing, and I think I just called you or texted you. I was like, I hate this episode. I don't like it. I'm not behind it. I'm not going to promote it. I'm not happy with it.
It's not because it was Lauren or what? Like it was like the things she was having us talk, like so many lies or
according to her. I want to be clear about that. That according to her, there's verbiage, there's trigger words, there's lots of things to say and not to say in diet culture. And every time we would say something, she's like, "Oh, we don't say that." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, we do, because that's how we talk." And there's a lot of things that I would usually just go, okay, you know what? I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to be kind, and this person is our guest. But spending a year in a small space with Mary has taught me to speak up, to be very honest. And this was one of those moments where I was just like, you're not going to tell me what I can and can't say on my podcast. And I didn't like it. And when I went back and listened to it and I heard old me go, oh, okay, I'm so sorry. What do we say? And I was like, no, I don't want to be that person anymore. I mean, I'm happy to have her back on again because I have lots of things I want to talk to her about.
Yeah. Lot more, and I think that was part of it for me is like listening to it. Mm-hmm. I had all these new questions that I didn't have when we came in, because there are so many things that I've been taught about my body and our bodies and like what's wrong with them and what's right about them that like I just need a lot of hand holding to understand some things that she believes, and I don't think they're wrong. I'm just not, I just don't understand them well enough yet.
I don't either. And I, how do I say this? Look, I'm even like editing myself right now. I want to be compassionate to people because I understand that maybe the experience that they've had with diet culture or body image may be more intense or more severe than mine. And so I do, like, I want to be, I mean, there's women that are so consumed with how they look that they come on the brink of death, you know? So I understand and want to be compassionate towards that. But at the same time, those things don't necessarily affect me. And I guess I want to learn how culture has gotten into my brain so much that I'm so comfortable saying negative things about my body. And I think that's what she was trying to clear up, mm-hmm. is even trying to make us go, no, like, don't have that negative thought about your body always first thing.
Yeah.
That was a lot. Sorry.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I think everything that she's trying to do is positive. I think we are fighting, like, so many things that, like we talked about, that are in our culture that we don't even realize that we're seeing or thinking or believing that.
Mm-hmm. And pushing off onto our own daughters.
I just need more time. Yeah, I just need more conversation.
Yeah, that's my thing. I think I'm past the point of no return, but...
Of what?
Of just, like, this is how I feel about my body and this is how I'm going to feel. And actually, the older I get, the more comfortable I am with it. So I'm really not that worried about it. But I want to make sure that the things I'm saying in front of my daughter and the things you're saying in front of your daughters... is not going to make them struggle this far into adulthood like we have.
Right. And I think that was one of the things I did take away is, like, I have very skinny, especially my oldest daughter, she's just really skinny, mm-hmm. like genetically really skinny. And I know what she eats and none of it is good. Right. Even if we try to give her good food, like
her metabolism eating,
is it's just different. Yeah. She's got she has got her daddy's build, which is just like long and lanky and mm-hmm. skinny. It will catch up with her eventually, but we did have a conversation recently of, like, she said something about, like, I'm the skinniest of all my friends. And I was like, ugh. I was like, yeah, but it's not any other reason than that's who your dad is and, like, your genetics. So
you've said that before. I think you said that. That doesn't make you better than the other girls. But there is. But even at that young of an age, it feels brag-worthy.
Right. And and even if for her it might have just been, like, the observation, like, the fact mm-hmm. of I'm skinnier than all my friends doesn't maybe have the loaded stuff yet for her. But I wanted to make sure real quick, like, especially as the girl who in fourth grade was not the skinniest girl of her friends. I was the tallest and the biggest because I was 5 inches taller than everyone. So, like... Also, super sensitive, like, well, your mom was the chubby kid, so back off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just a lot of...
Yeah, so I'm interested to revisit that with her
And we had
season.
A lot of people say, like, hey, I listened to this with my daughter, or we started some good conversations with my sibling or whatever. So mm-hmm. just, like, I don't know. So I think it's a first step, and like you said, we'll keep pushing and coming back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
We talked about gray area drinking on an episode, and we were really worried about this episode.
Oh, can I start?
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Go.
Gather around, everyone. I wanted to cross my legs, but I'm afraid my pants are going to bust open. So, and there's people here. Okay. So this one, maybe we should have started with this one. Gray area drinking. This was a lot of just turmoil about this because we talked about this afterwards. We share snapshots of our lives, not end all be all. Here's where we're at. We know all the right things to say. Here's all the lessons. Here's mm-hmm. how you should do it. It is for a lot of our episodes. It is just recording a conversation or bits of a conversation that we mm-hmm. have had, like in this office or, you know, at a dinner table. So it was a learning experience. I came from it from the point of view of I'm married to a recovering alcoholic and a lot of your language sounded enabling.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But what we learned from that.
Yes. Yeah,
is that in our opinion, gray area drinking is a really pretty fluffy term for I don't want to say I'm an alcoholic yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what is interesting is that maybe you are way more self-aware. Again, we recorded that months ago.
Months ago.
And then when we thought we prepped for it, we talked about it, then it sits for a while and we think about it, then we come back and we edit and we add like the intro to it and then mm-hmm. we release it and then we get feedback and we start thinking about it. And so like by the time someone has heard our episode, we have already processed through like 15 different things or like come at some more questions. I think for you, what we didn't see coming was the way it kind of called you out.
It did. It called me out in a big way. I'm going to say about 3 years ago, my drinking completely spiraled out of control. And in the last 2 years, I have not gone more than 24 hours without a drink. And yesterday was 30 days.
30 days sober.
Yeah, 30 days sober. That's awesome. So.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's people here. They're clapping.
Wow. Feels like a meeting.
I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, 30 days yesterday. And
which is a huge deal. Like, just, like.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah, it did. It called me out big time because the gray area community is, and again, I've learned that everybody's recovery story is different. I still even have a hard time saying, oh, well, you know, I'm not drinking. This is why I say to everybody, I'm not drinking right now. Mm-hmm. Just because it still feels too hard to say I'm never going to drink again. But I know in my heart I can't drink again. I'm not saying that I'm not going to, because relapse sometimes is a part of recovery. I don't know, whatever it is. But I kept it so under wraps for a long time that a lot of people, they do the, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. You don't have to, oh, no, I never know. Yeah, that's kind of the point. You weren't supposed to know this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, yeah. But I remember sitting here with you and saying, it was right around race weekend, and I was like, you were like, it's a big weekend, you know, what are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know. Cause I want to go to the race. I want to drink. And so it's always like, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week. And, I don't remember exactly the situation the last time I drank, but I know I woke up the next morning and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I didn't tell anybody. I didn't say anything. And that, yeah. So 30 days later, 31 days later, here I am. Yeah, so we obviously will dive into this again next season and talk about where I am and what's going to happen. I am an embryo in terms of, like, I'm a little tiny in terms of recovery, and I know that. And
But everyone that's in recovery had to be 30 days first.
Right.
And
right.
Be 5 days first. So right. I don't think you can't discredit 30 days mm-hmm. because you've never been here before. And
no.
You've tried. You've tried to be here before.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal that you're at 31 days.
Yeah. But but back to the gray area drinking, and when we did that episode, being 30 days out, it makes me a little bit angry with the gray area community, how they do that.
And I think that's the reaction that my husband had.
Yeah.
Not at you.
Yeah.
And but there was a point where he texted me and said, I can't listen to that episode because she's just rationalizing being a drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And then later we kind of get to that. And mm-hmm. The one fear that we kind of talked through a little bit for me was that we were giving people that have an alcohol problem more language to justify
drinking. Exactly.
I think by the end we didn't do that, but that was my biggest mm-hmm. fear of, like, oh man, like, I spend whole episodes telling you that alcohol is in lots of ways ruined a lot of parts of my life, and then I let somebody say, here's another way to pretend to get away with drinking. I don't know, but it was just another conversation, and not everyone agreed with us on the listeners either. It was good. It ended up being really good.
Yeah.
So one of the things we talk a lot about, not just in this season, but in a lot of our seasons, is therapy. And are you still in therapy?
I have not been in therapy. I mean, but you know me, I'll do some really hard stuff and then I'll take 4 weeks off and then I'll go back. So I was just, I don't know how, especially in the last 30 days that I haven't been to therapy.
I actually don't know either.
But I have had a setup at home in terms of meditation and prayer and a lot of things that I've done every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back to our guru, Lisa, on Tuesday. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mary is a by-the-book schedule all the time, year out in advance. I'm a, hey, Lisa, you think you can get me in? So.
Well, you just said that, but I'm not currently going to Lisa.
You're not?
Well, so the summer came and we needed Ellie to get back into therapy.
Okay.
Yeah. So just budget wise, Ellie's going every other week for the summer to kind of get some stuff handled and addressed, and then I'll go back. But I mean, I hear this often when I tell people on social media, like, get into therapy. Therapy is expensive. Most therapists, especially good therapists, don't accept insurance. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like we needed to say, like, again, you always go in cycles, which is fine.
And I have to say budget has a lot to do with it also.
Yeah.
And I've done the same thing you've done. Like, there's been a couple times that my kids have gone and I kind of
take turns.
Yeah, we take turns.
Yeah. So right now Ellie's going, and she loves it. Mm-hmm. She loves it. Harper is still refusing to go, which I think both my kids would be good in therapy, but we're doing one at a time. Mm-hmm. And Ellie loves to go. So
yeah. Could you imagine going to therapy at that age if your parents would have taken you?
Oh man.
I know.
If someone just to listen to me for an hour,
I
would tell you all kinds of stories that weren't true, but
oh,
I would have loved it.
Our diaries would have been a lot less interesting though. I just found my middle school diary. Should have took your writing workshop a little earlier.
Oh no. But there was a lot of...
There's a lot. You know what? I documented every single boyfriend when we started dating, well, going out, and when we broke up. Every single one, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. There was a lot.
You were kind of a slut.
In terms of Doe Creek Middle School, yes, yes, I was.
I had the opposite experience in middle school. I maybe had two boyfriends, and I broke up with Tim because he came to school in yellow sweatpants one day, and I was like, oh, no, we don't wear yellow sweatpants in 7th grade.
Tim H.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a touchy subject.
Oh,
so
sorry.
I don't want to talk about it. All right. And this is just a little fun fact before we do our next little thing. So interesting detail is, if you look at our stats of like downloads for the podcast, the most downloaded subject, like no matter what season, is when we talk about religion.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
Because I would assume it's because people think that you and I have such opposing views on it. They think one of these days we're just going to pull out the boxing gloves and no, I don't think it's,
I would win.
You know, I've seen you box before.
Oh, that's going to be edited out. How old were we?
We were freshmen.
Have we told that story before?
I don't think so. When we were freshmen, I don't know why exactly, but my dad finished out our garage and put carpet in it. I think we hosted a Thanksgiving there in the garage one year. And so my dad, like, you know, what it made it look nice and did that. So I had a party probably after a football game or something. I don't know. So there were a bunch of girls over at my house. My brother had boxing gloves, and Mary and our friend Jenny D boxed it out in the middle of my garage, and Mary whipped her ass.
Okay,
Jenny's
first of all,
listen to this and text us.
She is going to be so happy that we brought her up on the podcast.
But
does not like that story.
No,
and I'm pretty sure there's a video of it somewhere.
There
still.
Is a video of it.
You have it.
I have it.
For Christmas, for favorite things next year, you should
make
find
a copy
it and make
it
a copy for
all
everyone.
Of us. Oh, Jenny.
Just
who else boxed? There's a couple on there.
I bet like Abby.
Uh-huh. And I think Angela maybe.
There
no,
was a lot
Jessica
of...
Jessica wasn't there.
Jessica was at the Christian school at this point. There was
they
no
didn't
boxing.
Box there.
Yeah. They had prayer fights. Just kidding. Just to set the stage though, like, freshman year was a good style year for me. I wore a lot of like windbreakers and mesh shorts for basketball practice, but like year round. And I had bangs that were trying to grow out, but they weren't going very well.
So there were lots of thick headbands.
And I wore like lots of flannel shirt. It was a
very Kurt Cobain meets Mrs. Indiana basketball.
Meets lesbian lumberjack. Like, it was just an odd time. So then I was very like
just really reeling in it right
I'm
now
I'm trying to like edit my description of myself. I'm not a lesbian is shocking to I think everyone in
I
our
say that
graduating
all the time
class.
I listened to a lot of Mary Chapin Carpenter before I realized I wasn't a lesbian. We were all shocked, me especially.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of not being a lesbian, my husband's here. That was such a good segue. I couldn't have planned it better.
Oh, good.
And mm-hmm. So people often ask on the podcast or just when on social media or my blog, like, how does Chris Graham feel about all these stories that you share, right. All these things you talk about? And a lot of them have to do with him. Mm-hmm. So,
and to be honest, before you and I started working together, I wanted to fight you sometimes for Chris Graham. And I'd be like, wait, God, give him a break, Mary. Jeez. And But then I found out later, he's your first editor.
Yeah.
He knows everything before it goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Dramatic pause.
Sorry.
Chris Graham, come here.
Come here. Come on up, Chris Graham. Clap him out.
Just Aunt Susie. Just Aunt Susie clapping on that one. Hi, Chris Graham.
Hi.
In real life, do I call you by your full name?
Yes.
All the time.
All the time.
The Grahams are the only other family I know that say their last name as much as we do.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to check Let's our levels check. Real quick. Yeah. Go
you
ahead.
Say, you say something?
Say something.
There you go. You're good. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, first of all, Chris Graham, how do you feel about me telling stories about you on the internet?
I don't know. It comes and goes. It's got its moments. I think first, it as long as somebody else can hear the story and know the story is good, because I'm not going to tell it myself, and I know that other people will benefit from the mistakes I've made, which can be plentiful, but also they can also find humor and the good things too, because there's good and bad in all of it. So I just know that we're all screw-ups, and sometimes, some people need to show that or see that it's okay sometimes. That's all.
Do you think I share enough of my screw-up stories to balance yours, or are we a little Chris Graham heavy? Do I represent
my... No, because you're perfect.
Aww.
That's annoying.
That is annoying. No, I would say that... I don't know.
Well,
I would say that right now it's easier to write about somebody else. It's hard to write about yourself, I think. No?
I love writing about myself. I would say, for someone that lives with me, do I represent myself, like true self, on social media or no? Ooh, this is a good question, Mary Graham.
I think you do. I think you're good about writing the things that are going on in your life at the moment. So I would say yes. I would say you do a good job there.
Are you scared of me?
I don't say there's... Yeah, I'm always scared of you.
Have you ever thought about writing, like being a guest writer on the blog? Or?
No, I don't write.
No, you don't write at all?
He's written before.
Yeah.
I did once, and it was a complete fabrication.
He was... Yeah.
Oh.
I wrote about 6 years. It was about at a 6-year point, and I wrote a sobriety post. And I was drunk when I wrote that post. Yeah. So it took me, I don't know, a whole evening to sit down and write it. And I probably, after every paragraph, went down and drank some more before I'd write another paragraph. So.
But you wouldn't do that again?
Would I write something again?
Yeah.
I could, but I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
So I think he's good about telling his story, like in AA circles.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to AA on Saturday mornings and shares things and has relationships there and then does some groups through our church. So he tells his story often, just not, you know, not on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm more of a one-on-one person. I don't do group settings very well.
Okay.
And I would rather do that than I would writing it. I think it's easier to have a conversation with somebody than it is to actually tell a story, I think, is better.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. There's a question here from Instagram. Do you feel guilt for what your family went through? And how do you overcome without being consumed?
I think that's a hard one.
It is hard.
I think we all feel guilt and shame at some point. And I think guilt is more heavier for me now, because you still see, there's still pictures everywhere. There's still the scars that you see. I mean, it's easy to walk up and down and through our house and see the memories, or drive through places and see things. For me, that's one of the things, you know. And so there's always those reminders. I mean, there's a pair of gym shorts that I still have that have the strings cut out of them, because those are the ones that Mary brought me when I was in a hospital. And, you know, that wasn't allowed. So I still have little reminders and mementos of that. But as far as me dealing with that now, that's still a day-to-day thing. You know, I'm not that person that I was then, so I always have that to go back on. And that's good, I think, because if I get dwelt up and stuck on it, it's harder. I mean, just now, still, I mean, a couple weeks ago, for me, you know, I want to be different, but things that happened in my past can still rear their heads. I mean, I didn't winterize our camper all the way, you know, back in the fall, and so the water heater blew out and exploded, and so that's caused damage. You know, that's not who I want to be, but those are things that still, you know, things happen in the past that still come forward to haunt you. And so that's just an example of just trying to be better each day. Yeah, I mean, all I can do is be better now, I think.
Okay.
I think as someone who observes him but also lives with him, what I didn't understand about recovery is, he took away the drugs and the alcohol. We are still living every day, still the consequences of that. And so it's just a lot slower and a lot more painful to see how much damage it's still doing almost 2 years out. So
we have a question?
Yeah.
You both used a phrase, living with the consequences, dealing with the consequences. And when you just said it again, it came to my mind that when do the consequences go away? I mean, are you both dealing with stuff over and over and over again, the same things, versus is it just new consequences that come up? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because is there that struggle then that, okay, it's time to let that go. And, oh, if a new consequence comes up, we'll face it. But at some point in time, wouldn't you want to put the old consequences to rest?
That's a good question. And I think that's a little bit harder for me, and maybe not. But from my vantage point, like, sometimes I just want to be like, hey, and talking to Mary, like, you know, that's not who I am anymore. But, you know, I want to be better, and I try to be better, but... You know, lately it seems like two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes it's even one step forward, two steps back. And so that's something that I go to therapy for to deal with, to touch back on what the girls have talked about. And so I think that it's still every day is progress. And it's not something that it's going to happen overnight. You can't snap your fingers and get better. But it is something that, you know, that I think for me, it's better more often. You know, the consequences aren't still there. Yeah, there's the heavy stuff. There's still the memories. But that's all they are memories. And so the things that I deal with now aren't things that happened years ago. They're things that happened, you know, just because I'm still, you know, I'm still me. You know, so if that helps a little bit.
I think when we say consequences, too, it sounds like someone's being punished, and that's not what we mean.
Like the effects of.
Yes, the effects of. So one of the problems with addiction of any kind is it stunts your brain. So if you are 15 when you develop a heroin addiction, your brain stops developing. You don't get more mature. You don't learn how to make better choices. You stay 17. So you could still be 35 But if you develop that habit at 17 and you haven't stopped, you have stunted all the natural things that go through, that progress through your eight, like what happens to you as you get older, you learn lessons by doing things wrong, and then you pick up those lessons and you do better next time. That's one of the things about aging and getting more mature. The problem with people that have an addiction is they have stopped maturing. So they haven't learned new coping skills. They haven't learned new ways of handling problems. Whatever they were at developmentally when they started a habit, they have stayed at that level. Their brain hasn't been able to grow and mature. So, and not in a disrespectful way, but in a lot of ways, I'm still married to someone who's very immature. So and a lot of addicts are impulsive. And so one of the things that we're still dealing with, and not a consequence like he's being punished like I'm his mother or his therapist punishes him, but we still struggle a lot with impulse control, thinking through a choice and not just doing the first thing you want to do versus doing the wise thing and thinking three or four steps ahead to know what will happen. As adults, mature adults, we get that. That's why so many of us, when we parent, we are helping our kids think through problems out loud. Okay, well, if you do this, what's going to happen as a result of that? I am almost 40, and Chris Graham is 35. We are not at the...
Are you really? I didn't know you're 35.
She's 37.
I'm 37. I'll be 38.
I'm 35.
When was your birthday?
It's
this is very important to the story.
September 4th, 1980.
Oh, okay, that's right. I didn't know that.
So we're like 2 years apart.
Oh, okay.
So not just like
way to go, Cougar.
Oh yeah, thank you. Thank you. So not just age wise, we're gonna edit out that animal sound. No, just kidding. Stop.
I think he's turning on. I know. Careful.
Easy, Tiger. So not just age-wise am I more mature, but I have had more life experience where I've made better choices consistently.
As an adult.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, with an adult. With an adult brain, yeah.
So my brain has matured in a way that an addict's brain hasn't matured. So mm-hmm. So what we're doing, like, that's a long way to say, we just deal with impulse control.
Yeah.
You know, with the same... Mm-hmm. way that
decision making.
Yeah. And so we still, yeah. Our marriage still sometimes feels harder than it should because I'm married to someone that is still learning a lot mm-hmm. of coping skills that I wish were already there.
Yeah.
Does that?
Yes.
This is why he's not on the podcast.
Yeah.
Very often.
Oh,
do you?
I would say that yes, I do struggle with.
And when we say
thinking
you,
things, not you say me. I don't know.
But I also want to say that this is just an addict. This is not a Chris Graham thing. It's a
in general, yeah.
It's a result of addiction.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean it. Yeah, I remember some of my friends had other issues, and so they were even more stunted than I am. But that's just. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, so when we say consequences, yeah. We just mean we're still feeling the effects of someone who for a long time used negative coping skills to handle his life. So because we live in the same house and we have a lot of the same overlapping life, I then feel those effects too. And sometimes that is very wearing.
I have so many questions that I feel like we're just going to have to save it for an episode next season.
A Chris Graham episode?
A Chris Graham episode, and I just have questions about recovery and the community and the, you know, my personal experience and a failed relationship that I have to attribute a lot of my drinking to that failed relationship. And like I said, being very new, and yeah, I told you guys for the last however many years we've been doing this podcast, I'm in therapy. Yeah, I was drunk and at therapy. So they actually don't balance each other out, but in your drunk brain, they do. oh, it's okay. Like, you're still hungover or still drunk from the day before, and you're going to therapy at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, yeah, well, but I'm going to therapy. It doesn't matter if I was drunk.
Right.
Yeah, actually it does. Actually, it does. It's the same way that not being taught the coping mechanisms and the decision making as a teenager, you're not absorbing the things that you should be in therapy when you're half popped.
And there might be, and I don't know, I'm not saying this because I personally know this about you, but there might be a element of you then taking your therapy knowledge and hurting others with it as opposed to helping yourself. I just think if you are...
Oh, I feel like it discredits everything that I've said kind of about therapy. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to me it does.
I mean, something was sticking. You're better off than you were a couple years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I wasn't drunk every time.
Well, yeah. Well,
I mean,
first of all, congratulations.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
But, I mean, something was still sticking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But but it was another way to rationalize drinking was going to therapy. But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's just a lot of questions that I have. And maybe Chris Graham isn't the one, but... Or maybe, Chris, maybe we should just meet for coffee. Maybe we don't have to do this publicly.
No, I think that for anybody, I mean, everybody talks about rock bottom or whatever. And for me, it's not a cliche. It is a cliche. It's just the term that people use. Mm-hmm. And that's different for everybody, yes. And, you know, we could share stories. We could swap stories, whatever. I'm not going to go into... you know, a little drunk log for you, but I think there comes a point in time where you soak up all that information and you do all the things that you're supposed to do, but you still have to get to a point for yourself where it's time to change. And for you, that's come, hopefully. I mean, there's still more days. I mean, for now, yes, tomorrow's a different day, but, and same for me, it just hasn't happened yet. But there comes a point, and it says this in the big book, you know, we're not all bums living on the street, but we do get to, I mean, I think we are blessed in the sense that, no, we haven't lost all the things that we have, uh-huh. that other people have. Uh-huh. We didn't have to go through the pain that other people did, uh-huh. but we see where we could be uh-huh. in their stories and their shared, you know, what they share. And so that's where it comes down to. No, I hadn't lost those things yet. There's always that caveat of yet. And so I think that that's the one thing that, for me, I saw that. You know, I didn't have to lose the house. I didn't have to lose a car. I didn't have to lose. I did lose a job of my own choice. I hadn't lost it yet, but there were other things that did. I mean,
you lost
could see,
lots of things.
You could see where those things were going to be gone. And, you know, there was the threat of jail time. Mm-hmm. I did get hospitalized. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of those things, but.
You almost lost your amazing wife.
But you did
Chris
it.
Chris Graham.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, on this light subject, I think this is a good time to take a break.
Yes.
All right. And.
Hey, before we do that.
yeah.
30 days is a long time. So I do commend you on that. Yeah, it's a long time. And
thanks.
So it's beneficial to me, and I'm glad to see you smile.
Thanks. Thanks, Chris Graham.
You've been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Connect with the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Not Terrible Podcast. Visit them at notterriblepodcast.com for show notes and additional content. You can sign up for their newsletter to receive bonus episodes and podcast extras. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider. Not Terrible is recorded in conjunction with The Chick McGee Show and Off the Air Podcast. Recorded in the Front Room Studio, this has been a Waco production.